This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at EmpowerRadio.com. Okay, so like many of you, I have worked on my inner child. We've all heard about embracing your inner child, loving your inner child, rescuing your inner child. There's so much work out there on how to take care of your inner child. And, you know, I'm a self-love guru, for lack of a better word right now, but I'm all about self-love. Until recently, that was my only focus, was working on my inner child. Along the way here, I was introduced to a term I had really never heard of before, your outer child. And that overcoming that self-sabotaging behavior of our outer child can really propel our life into a new direction. My guest today, psychotherapist Susan Anderson, is an author, a speaker, and the founder of the Outer Child and Abandonment Recovery Movement. She has spent years of clinical experience and research helping people resolve these abandonment issues and overcome self-sabotage. With further delay here, I welcome you to Soulful Living, Susan.
Well, I'm happy to be here, Terry.
Okay, so in our brief conversation earlier, I mentioned that I had really never heard of the word outer child, but in reading your work, I can see where it shows up in who I am. And I'm all about presenting who I am to the world, and I'm totally ready to work on those behaviors that help me, that can help me, you know, move to a better place in the world. So let's give the listeners your definition of what outer child is and what the work is.
Well, outer child is the next voice that we have to identify in the personality. It's the acting out, self-sabotaging voice. And by finding that third voice of the personality, there's the adult, the inner child, and then the outer child. So by identifying that third voice, we get to love our inner child unconditionally, because we needed to separate out the part that acts out and sabotages us. So in the past, when we tried to love our inner child, we did, we worked on it, we certainly made progress, but there was a piece that we actually hated about our inner child, and that is that it made us act like such a maniac, it sabotaged our relationship, it made us overeat, it made us maybe have performance anxiety and not do our best. But what we were doing was we were blaming our poor, innocent inner child for some of our behaviors, for old behavior patterns, for old defense mechanisms. So by identifying the outer child voice in the personality, which is the self-sabotaging part, we can spare the inner child from all that behavior, and we can hold her or him, little her, little him, you know, as innocent and absolutely not to be blamed for the self-sabotaging part. That we can blame on the outer child, which is the part of us that breaks our diet and is attracted to all the wrong people.
And does everybody experience that outer child?
We all have an outer child because we all went through adult childhood, and we all had little things happen to us in childhood, or big things that made us want to defend ourselves and made us want to react. And so some of those reactions became habits, you know, patterns that work for us when we were children. But when we grow up and become these very, you know, high-functioning adults that we are, of course, self-aware people, these old patterns sometimes get in the way and cause us to overreact or to act too clingy or needy in a relationship, where they might make us too inhibited when we're in a work situation. So we all have it to some extent. I don't think there's a person on the planet who could say that they don't wish they could stop sabotaging themselves in some way. It's universal.
Well, I know I have several clients who connect with me, both on a business level and a personal level, and would like to stop those self-sabotaging behaviors, however it shows up, you know, whether it's in eating disorders or their businesses or relationships. And in your work, you particularly talk about how it's related to abandonment issues. And do you feel that each of us experiences some type of abandonment throughout our lifetime?
Yes, abandonment, because I'm referring to the primal fear of abandonment, which we all have as human beings. So mm-hmm. we all have that nerve jangle at times, that abandonment nerve, that raw abandonment wound that we all have because we all went through the birth trauma, and we all had fear when mommy or daddy walked away from the crib when we were very little. We all know what it feels like. And so we all have sort of a tender, vulnerable spot within us, the fear of being left behind or not being accepted, the fear of not being enough. In some people, it's more pronounced than others, depending on your childhood and your temperament. But we all have it. And the root of our self-sabotage is that fear, that abandonment wound that lurks within. And when we, because it causes us to self-abandon, and by self-abandoning, we're not reaching our goals, we're sabotaging ourselves. So,
and there's probably so many different things that happen, experiences that trigger us to go even more so into that self-sabotaging, into those patterns than others. And what would some of those triggers look like?
Well, the triggers could be anything from feeling that the love, that the quality of love in your life is not where it needs to be, or that you're not as respected at work as you wish that you were, or you're not as successful, or you feel guilty because you've overspent and your credit cards are all maxed out, or you need to lose that 10 pounds and you haven't. There are so many triggers that occur in the middle of the day when your friend doesn't return your phone call, or someone doesn't say you're welcome when you do them a favor, or something of that sort. Those little moments of feeling dismissed can trigger it. And then mm-hmm. when we have an opportunity to reduce our pleasure, our tension a little bit, maybe give ourselves a little pleasure, most of us tend to grab for a quick fix. So that's where some of the sabotage comes in, because instead of delaying the need to, let's say, have a second piece of cake, mm-hmm. we follow our diet, instead we grab for that second piece of cake because we're looking to sort of feel better, you know, or instead of going ahead and making that difficult phone call, we procrastinate, put it off till tomorrow, because really right now we just want to feel better. So in all the little things that trigger us get us to take the easy road out sometimes and not take care of important things that we're working on, and so we kind of sabotage ourselves.
So, in essence, that self-sabotage is directly caused or an effect of our own self-abandonment.
It is.
We don't act in our best interest anymore. We're connected to that unresolved anger and those triggers.
Yeah, because we love ourselves, but only enough to give ourselves quick fixes. So let's say instant gratification. I'm having a day where I love myself, but I can only mm-hmm. express it through self-indulgence. So I overspend, I overeat, I oversleep, I overwatch television, whatever, all my mm-hmm. many vices, and I have, you know, many vices, of course. But when I really love myself and I really want to do right by myself, it's a deeper kind of love. It's unconditional, radical self-love. I will give myself what I need, which is I need to stick to my eating plan. I need to not go to the mall. I need to take care of business instead of procrastinating. so that I can really feel good about myself and really move toward my goals, rather than sabotage them. So self-sabotage is about not loving yourself enough to delay gratification. Now, we all give in to the need for instant gratification. We're human. It's okay to procrastinate a little here and there, but some of us wish we didn't do so much of that.
Yeah, and on such an often basis. Listeners, again, I'm chatting with Susan Anderson. Susan is a psychotherapist, author, speaker. You can find all of her information here on the Soulful Living page at Empower Radio. And Susan, you have a new book out, Taming Your Outer Child, which, of course, completely correlates with what we're talking about. Overcoming Self-Sabotage and Healing from Abandonment, kind of like a self-guided tool to use to reconnect to that place of self-love and work on, as your title says, overcoming that behavior and honoring the essence of who you are. I think it sounds like really honoring your soul self by giving yourself that unconditional love that we all crave, but we haven't really been taught, and certainly haven't been taught about the outer child.
Yes. The idea is that it's the same goal as the inner child work. It is loving yourself. It is making that internal connection. It's really having a substantial, unconditional, radical kind of self-love that allows you to become self-contained and self-possessed emotionally and allows you to have healthier relationships. That is the goal, but how do we get there? In order to really feel those positive emotions toward ourselves that allow us to love ourselves, we have to kind of work on the behavior that makes us mad at ourselves. We have to be on some sort of an improvement program that is effective. And we all know it's very hard to change patterns. They're so knee-jerk that we don't even know why we're procrastinating. It's so automatic that we grab for a quick fix. We don't even realize why we're taking the last bite of ice cream or whatever it is. We don't think all the time about why we're doing what we're doing. It's so much of a habit, but the program helps you become more conscious, and it allows you step by step, taking baby steps really, to make it very easy for us to do. It allows you to reprogram your behaviors and find positive, healthy new habits to replace the old one. And what you're really doing there, if you're reprogramming your behaviors, you're really reprogramming the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So the program,
it really sounds like it's something that would be an amazing tool to include in any type of recovery program. You know, we have Alcoholics Anonymous and gamblers and food addictions and love addiction and sex addiction. It really sounds like it's a tool that needs to be introduced into recovery programs so that people really learn how to recognize those triggers.
It's very true, because awareness is such an important step, and the more you understand about your own outer child, the more familiar you are with its traits, its many traits, the easier it is to overcome your outer child.
To recognize when somebody's pushing those triggers, or you're feeling that those triggers are being pushed. You know, many times we know the people that we interact with on a daily basis are oblivious to what's going on in our mind. You know, These are triggers that we recognize, right, because of our own abandonment issues.
Yes, to become more conscious and more aware so that we can be better prepared, because ultimately we're responsible for our behavior. So if I'm in the company of someone who sort of pushes my buttons, now I'm more aware of it. And I'm not blaming the other person. I'm taking responsibility for how I handle my end of the equation. So rather than let that person arouse feelings that cause me to do something like overindulge and maybe procrastinate or not take care of business afterward, I'm going to be aware of the fact that this person can trigger feelings, let's say, of inadequacy, which is a very common one. And so it's not the person's fault, but I may feel just sort of inadequate talking to this person. And those are my feelings. I'm responsible for that. And only I can make myself feel better. I can't expect that person to take those feelings away. It is big me to little me that can do that. It is the adult self to that innocent, wounded inner child who can take those feelings away. And that's what the program helps you do. It helps you to administer love and acceptance directly to your inner child through actions, not just through feelings and through, you know, thoughts, but through actions, by doing. Because, of course, what we're ultimately doing is we're changing our behaviors. So we give self-love to ourselves by taking self-loving actions. It's a doing program.
And what are some of the actions that we might see in the book Taming Your Outer Child? What are some of the actions that you share with your patients to help them move past these self-sabotaging behaviors and really step into loving their outer child, breaking those patterns?
I'll tell you, outer child hates any kind of program and doesn't want to be on a change program, because outer child hates change and wants control and wants to go right on indulging itself and having all the cake that it wants and all the relaxation that it wants. So in order to sort of sneak the program by your outer child, who's always on the lookout to sabotage, the program has to be pleasurable. So the actions that are part of the program are very pleasurable and easy to perform. So,
and
what would be an example of one of those pleasurable activities? Yes, one of them would be a visualization exercise. It's very easy to do. You create a very pleasurable space in your mindscape so that you can return to it when you're resting or when you're driving or when you're standing online at the bank. It's a very pleasurable picture that you create inside your mind, a sort of a fantasy place. And it really is very strenuous exercise when you really break it down into what it's about. You're using your imagination to create the space. But it gives your brain a crucible, a place to actually envision yourself achieving goals. But it's a doing activity, because you're consciously conjuring up this image. It's very pleasurable, and you're doing it when you have a moment's rest during the day. So that's one activity. Very easy.
So definitely wouldn't want to do that while you're driving, right? You want to pull over and allow yourself time, at least a minute or two, to connect with that.
Well, yes. When you first create the image, you wouldn't want to do it while you're driving. But once you have created the space, you can do it while you're driving, because you can keep your eyes focused on the road, and you just, while you're thinking and feeling as you're driving, You can recreate the image. You do the hard work of it, hopefully not when you're driving.
Right.
But when you're
thinking.
But
it becomes your anchor.
Yes, it really becomes an anchor. And another example of an activity would be an action step that you take. So every day you would take a positive action that you are taking, something very small that you are taking that's related to one of your goals. So let's say you have a goal to get fit. But you're not going to be unrealistic and say, every day I'm going to the gym for an hour. That might be too big a step. You can do that.
Mm-hmm. It would be for me.
Just park a little further away from where you normally would, as a way of inching toward your goals, always taking action steps that are goal-directed, even if they're so tiny, such baby steps that they hardly seem important at the time. But they do add up.
Yeah, I would imagine that they will, because we do get overwhelmed by that long-term commitment and the failure, perceived failure, which could be that abandonment, right? That's
yes.
Attached to not living up to that huge goal.
Well, our child is going, if we make too big a goal and if it isn't pleasurable, the way to perform it, if it isn't pleasurable enough or gratifying enough, outer child will try to sabotage it. So the idea is that the program has to be very pleasurable and very easy to do, you know, easy to fit into your daily activities. That doesn't mean that you can't make large strides also. Certainly you can do that. In fact, what happens is that the baby steps create momentum. because they're all aimed toward your goal, whether they're written mm-hmm. exercises, visualization, or actual action steps. They all aim you toward your goal, and all of a sudden you might find yourself taking a big step, making mm-hmm. that phone call, going on that job interview, joining a dating service, whatever it is. You may find yourself taking that step and that just amazed at yourself for being able to make a leap like that. Leaps do occur, but they start from the momentum of baby steps.
Mm. And do you think that the majority of addictions stem from abandonment and those outer child experiences?
Yeah, because addiction stems from self-medication at some level and self-gratification. So if you have a part of you that you don't know how to gratify using life itself, and you discover that popping a cookie in your mouth really gives you immediate pleasure, or you know, drinking down some alcohol that gives you that little feeling of relief, or whatever the drug is, or the gambling that gives you the excitement, that when you experiment with life and these substances and activities that are addictive, they're highly rewarding, they get right into the brain with the dopamine and they get you going, when they stem from that sort of an empty feeling, and they help to take it away. So at the heart of most addiction, especially alcoholism and drug addiction, but it's also there with other forms of addiction, you find an abandonment history usually in that person.
So the gist of it is that we're replacing self-neglect with self-love, and we're taking baby steps towards achieving those goals to really expand our own capacity to live and to love, attached to those pleasurable experiences, so that they get embedded into our inner child, per se, and we're more successful.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. And we want to make the new activities become programmed in the brain so they get it part of that dopamine system that reinforces the behavior to make it a habit. We want to become sort of quote-unquote addicted to constructive, positive things so that we actually move in the direction of what makes us happy substantially, not just the substitutes of, you know, food and alcohol and love addiction and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, listeners, I'm chatting with Susan Anderson, psychotherapist and author of Taming Your Outer Child, Overcoming Self-Sabotage, and Healing from Abandonment. Susan, time goes by super fast, and we're down to the wire here. We only have a minute or two left, and I really want to stress that your book takes the readers through a clinically tested program. You have been studying this for years, and it's a step-by-step guide that can really help them change their lives for the better in an easy format, right?
Yes, and because it doesn't happen by osmosis, it really requires kind of following a program that has already figured out the right steps to take to do it.
And for continuous support, listeners, you can find all of Susan's information on the Soulful Living page here at Empower Radio. I will have her website information up there, all of her social media, of course, more information about her so you can get a good feel for her background. And Susan, I love for my guests to leave the listeners with something that they can take out into the day right now to elevate their soul, to empower their lives. What would that be for you?
Well, the first thing I want people to understand is that there many people have given up their dreams. Put them back up on the screen of your mind. Your dreams need to be resurrected, because even if you failed in the past to live up to your dreams, You can still do it if you take it one step at a time and simply follow a program that guides you there.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much for being here with me today. I appreciate your insight, and I am looking forward to taming my outer child because I know she needs it too. Thank you.
Okay, Terry. Thank you.